Hi, I'm Paige Strothman.
I'm Henry Krieger.
And you're listening to Shoot Without a Script. So, Mr. Krieger, did you always want to be a composer, or was there something before that that you wanted to pursue?
I wanted to be a performer originally, but it was too much hard work, so I decided to write the songs so that somebody else do all that heavy work.
Oh, wow. And how did, like, once you decided to be a composer, how did it come to the scale it's achieved?
Well, if you keep doing the same thing long enough, like Edison invented the light bulb after, I think, 1,000-something tries, if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and doing what, you know, you want to do, eventually I think it happens, you know, unless it's something that's wildly out of sync with what your abilities are. But if you find some of your abilities and everybody has them and follow it carefully, anybody can, you know, reach their dreams, especially in this country.
That's really good advice to people out there. So the topic on most of our listeners' mind is probably Dreamgirls. So what inspired the story of Dreamgirls? Like, how did it come to be?
Well, Dreamgirls came to be after my writing partner for Dreamgirls and I musicalized a show of his. And Nell Carter, do you know who this was? Nell Carter, very wonderful African-American woman singer. Anyway, she stopped the show at three-quarters of the way of Act One with a big song we wrote. And then we decided we wanted to write a whole show like that. And after a few years of pursuing other things, we came back together and worked on Dreamgirls till it was finished.
Wow. So did the story inspire the songs, or did the songs inspire the story? Because the songs, each and every one of them, are masterpieces.
Well, that's very kind of you. They kind of fertilizing each other, basically. You'd write some songs, then the story would start to occur to you, and we worked in workshops with some wonderful actors that ended up being in that Broadway show.
Oh, wow.
And you know, in a workshop, and we would do this for 6 weeks at a time. We would work on the show. And after, I don't know, three workshops, we had yet another six-week rehearsal, and we went up to Boston and did the show out of town, and then came back to New York and opened up.
Oh, wow.
You know, what comes first is when you do something like this, sometimes one thing comes and inspires the next thing, which re-inspires backward the other thing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your favorite song to work on?
Well, I guess, and I'm telling you, I'm not going, because it has a lot of opportunity for hot drama, which is fun. And then, of course, some of the parts of the show where the girls are arguing or something are good parts. But I think the most fun is having that song, because it always seems to work well. Among other things, people on shows like American Idol, even Star Search, find that it's a good song for somebody to sing and get noticed.
Oh, yeah. And which is your favorite to hear performed?
The end of the show, the rendition of Dreamgirls, when everybody becomes friends again.
So the movie recently came out. What did you think of the casting for it?
I loved it. The director kept me involved throughout the casting process, and I was thrilled with what we came up with. Yeah, I really was.
Yeah, they did a terrific job.
Look at Jennifer Hudson's incredible Cinderella story, coming from having been not asked to come back to American film and then winning the Oscar and the Golden Globe and all those things. It's a star-making role, and it worked again. It made Jennifer for Holiday become noticed, and now as a movie all these years later, with the audience, it's made Jennifer Hudson a star overnight. So,
yeah.
I forget what your question was. Something like that.
Yeah.
I just love the casting. That was it.
Yeah.
I love Jamie Foxx and Jennifer Hudson and Beyonce and Eddie Murphy. You know, things like that. It was great, and the director has been a lovely gentleman to work with for everyone. Anyone who's ever worked with Bill Condon, our director, says the same thing.
Oh, wow.
Person, yeah.
Okay, so now you've denied it heavily over the years, but the movie made many strong parallels between Dina and the Dreams and Diana Ross and the Supremes. How did you feel about that?
It didn't bother me.
Director's choice?
I just figure whatever people want to think. I mean, art imitates life, imitates art, imitates life, imitates art. It's all okay. I don't really comment on those things.
Okay. I have to ask. So, we all know Dreamgirls, but what have you done before Dreamgirls that you'd like our listeners to know about?
Well, I wrote for 3 seasons of the Captain Kangaroo show in my early days, and that was exciting to see the Sox performed on TV in my young composer's life.
Oh, wow.
Sideshow after that, of course, was
right.
Very important to me. But before Dreamgirls, I was really cutting my teeth on, you know, theater off Broadway and just doing this and that. On my way to doing this.
Wow. So you've said Sideshow. What else have you done since Dreamgirls that
the Tap Dance Kid?
Okay.
It was a show that was put on 2 years after Dreamgirls.
Okay.
And it ran for 2 years, and people love it. People really do. It's about a little boy and a little girl, brother and sister. He wants to be a tap dancer, she wants to be a lawyer.
Oh.
And their father, who's a lawyer, they're African-American family, by the way, the father wants him to be a lawyer like him and wants the girl to be happy and lose some weight and maybe take up nursing. So it's a problem because the father's always telling the kids that their dreams are not valid and they have to do what he says. Of course, they both go on to do what they want to do.
Oh, wow, that sounds very interesting.
It is, yeah.
So are there any projects in your future that we should be looking out for?
Yes, there are. One is Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, and one is The Flamingo Kid, and the others I don't know yet.
Okay. So just a few more questions. Over the past few years, Broadway's audience has been getting younger. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's a good thing, don't you think?
Yes, I do.
I mean, you know, because if it just stays older, everybody will pass away, nobody will come into the theater, right? And yet if young people do it, they'll eventually have their own families, many of them, and then those children will grow up to be interested by live theater, too.
And how do you think Broadway might change in its attempt to reach a younger audience?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. What advice would you give to teens who eventually want to break into this business, whether it be acting, composing, writing, you know, run the gamut?
Well, there are a lot of different ways to go. I mean, you can go to college for writing, and composing and directing, or you can just, you know, get involved with a theater company and come up the ranks. There are a lot of ways to go at it, and ASCAP and BMI offer writing workshops for people who want to write musicals.
Okay.
And sort of like, you know, like school, almost.
Well, those are all the questions I have for you. Thank you very much for your time.